Thank you, Josh. So on Wednesday, for those of you that were present, I gave you a hint of what we were doing regarding tomato and the grow under different light qualities. And one of the, and I will continue that presentation in this time. So most of the work here was done by Tomomi Egushi. She's a visiting scholar from Japan at the lab in University of Arizona. So she couldn't make it due to health reasons, nothing to worry about, but she wasn't able to make it. So the background, we already know that LEDs are a potential source of light for the production under closed type conditions. And however, there are some plant species, and among those is tomato, that when they grow under these conditions, they develop physiological disorders, and one of them is intumescence on tomatoes. It's also called edema, but the correct terminology for tomatoes would be intumescence. So what are intumescence? What is intumescence? Well, it's a physiological disorder, non-pathogenic. The symptoms are tumor, blister-like, on the leaves, which later lead to leaf abscission, and then the symptoms go to the stem, which later lead into issues in the stem thickness. This can be observed under controlled environment conditions with low UVB light, such as greenhouses with UVB protecting coating, and also under sole source light. And also, it affects several plant species such as tomato, sweet potato, white potato, and ivy geranium. And it's very highly cultivar dependent. Here you can see pictures of the symptom. Here, these plants, the first symptom you see is the intumescence in the cotyledons, then the cotyledons drop. The second symptom, you start seeing intumescence in the leaves, then the leaves drop. And the more severe symptom is when you start seeing intumescence in the stem. So here you can see a normal plant, affected plant grown under the same conditions. So how do you regulate intumescence? So the primary factor is light quality. Right? If you have hot red light background with no UV, then you get intumescence. Now you can prevent that by UV light. Also, in the previous presentation, I showed you that high blue percentage or high blue photon flux also reduces the tumors or intumescence. And then the next thing that we want to look at is far red light. What would be the effect, quantifiable effect on the intumescence? The secondary factor that affects intumescence is humidity. So light, the light quality starts the intumescent issue. Now the humidity makes it worse. So there is a work done by Morrow and Tibbetts in 1988, where we were based on, and he demonstrated that far red light following red light inhibit intumescence on tomato leaf discs. So basically the treatment was red light for 15 minutes, then darkness. Then red light for 15 minutes, 5 minutes far red light and darkness. Then red light for 15 minutes, 5 minutes of far red light, 5 minutes of red light and darkness. And you can see here the results. Under far red light before dark, you reduce your percent of intumescence in the disc. And you can see here, intumescence, no intumescence. This was on the very low light levels. Of course, they're working with leaf discs, and also was in the course of 1 hour. So out of the experiment, we said, why don't we try to use this base knowledge to try to develop something to apply it commercially? So we decided to focus on end-of-day far red light. So the hypothesis was that end-of-day far red light will reduce intumescence, and that the combination of end-of-day far red light with high blue photon flux will further reduce intumescence. So why are we focusing on far red light when we know UV light can eliminate the problem? Well, here you can see this table, and we gathered this information from a couple of companies, but the UVB light has a 0.7% efficiency watt-to-watt, but then it only produces 0.02 photon flux per watt. Right? And the cost of one dial is $226. Now, blue and red lights, to compare them, they're 1.7 to 1.9, and then the cost is between $3.4 up to $22, depending on the quality. And far red light, you know, they have high photon flux to watt, 1.82, and the cost is still very reasonable, you know, especially compared to those of UV. So here are the treatments. So in the first column, you have end-of-day treatment, 0 all the way to 9, then 74. And this is paired with the amount of dosage of far red light. Here you have the dosage, which is the millimoles per meter squared per day. I know, it's another unit that we have to learn, right? So here's 1.0 millimoles, which just means 5 micromoles for 3 minutes before darkness. okay, all the way up to very high, trying to match what the study in 1988 by Bob and Tibbetts, you know, 1 hour, you know, if we extrapolate that to 24 hours or 12 hours, then we can have this much, you know, very excessive end of day far red light, just to proof of concept. So that's 72 micromoles of far red photon flux for 17 minutes. And the background light, which is the growing light, is 10 blue photon flux and 92 red at 100 micromoles per meter squared per second for 18 hours photo period. Now, additionally, we have a background light of 75 blue and 25 red, you know, very high blue photon flux. And then we have that plus far red, only one of the treatments in the middle, you know, which is 4 millimoles, and of course the control. Here just is a picture of the setting. So the plants were grown on the background light, and at the end of the day, they were moved into the far red treatment, which was controlled by the intensity and the timer of the far red lights. So we measured the plants, you know, up to the grafting stage, of seedling stage, you know, 18 days after seeding, and we quantified the leaf intumescence, stem intumescence, and leaf abscission, and also growth and morphological parameters. Here you have the growing conditions, and here you have some of the pictures of the of the variables that we quantified. And our model crop here was Beaufort, again, very, very susceptible to intumescence, and it's around the same line than Maxifort. So here are the results. First, in the x-axis, you have the dose of end of day far red light, and this is only with a background of 10% blue, 90% red, and then end of day far red light. Okay? So we see the control with no end of day far red light. You have 60% of the plants had intumescence on the stem, which is the most severe symptom. You apply end of day far red light, you see no intumescence in the stem. Leaf abscission, you know, this later contributes to growth. 54% of the plant had intumescence, and then leaf abscission. And then when you apply another far red light, you have almost none. You have some over there in this treatment. And then the percent of number of leaves with intumescence, okay, 62% of the leaves of the plant had intumescence with the background 10% blue control. And then significantly low with 40% was across. So we still have intumescence in the leaves. We're reducing the severity of the symptoms, but the intumescence are still there. Let's see the growth and morphology of these plants. This is a picture of the plants with different end of day far red treatments. So Sutrat mite was improved by the end of their far red treatment, which is something that we know already that can improve, you know, dry mass accumulation significantly, but the same across the treatment. Now plant high end of day far red, phytochrome response also increased. This can be good or this cannot be good depending on your purpose, right? If it's a plant that you're going to graft, you probably want a longer hypocotyl so you have more room to graft. If it's just a plant straight seedling, you want a very compact plant. And this is not a desirable morphology. So the next step was to look at the high blue photon flux plus end of day far red light and compare that to the initial treatment. So incidence of stem intumescence, and then here you have background 10% blue, background 75% blue. Background 10% blue plus end of day far red light. Background 75% blue plus end of day far red light. So these two eliminated the intumescence in the stem. Here, these two had no leaf abscission, you know, and there's a difference between these two. Now, looking at this number, which is the number of leaves with intumescence, you know, 62%, 39%, you know, with the end of day far red light, 38% just with high blue photon flux. But when you combine them, we go down to 5%. Of the leaves in the plant high intumescence. That's a very, very small number. You know, even on the cool white fluorescent lamps, after 15 days of growing these tomatoes, they also have intumescence. You know, very little, you know, insignificant, a couple of leaves with some tumors, which is not an issue for the plant. So doing this with these LEDs, we have similar response. So now let's look at the growth and morphology of these tomatoes. Now they're growing on different light environment. You added high blue and far red, and what happens to the plant? What happens to the quality of the plant? Well, Sutrat mite was increased, you know, with end of day far red. It doesn't matter if you have 10% blue background or 75% blue background. It was increased, and no difference among them. But then here, plant high, which is a very important morphological result, you know, you increased it with the end of day far red, right? But if you apply high blue photon flux plus end of day far red, you brought that high back down. Right? So now you have a compact plant, just as compact, has the plants that didn't have any end of day far red. But then you have a plant with no intumescence. So additional findings. Now we just finished an experience where we swap Buford for Maxifor. Now Buford, we know they were very susceptible. We know that Maxifor are susceptible too, but not half susceptible. So what we did, well, let's increase the background photon flux to 200, you know, a more commercial light intensity, you know, to get a total of 13 moles at the end of the day. And also, let's reduce the amount of photon flux because we know that 75% was pulling the dry mass a little bit, right? So the next experiment was 10% blue background, 10% plus far red, 50 blue, and 50 plus far red. And we see a decrease in number of leaves with intumescence as well. And we're currently working on this data on Maxifor. So let's just summarize the results. The control, which is 10% blue, 19% red. 62 of the leaves have intumescence. 52% of the leaves upsize the plant. 63% of the plant had intumescence in the stem, and the plant height was 9 centimeters. So end of the far red light at the minimum dosage, which is how much? 5 micromoles for 3 minutes. Right, very low amount of far red light. 42% of the leaves had intumescence, no leaf abscission, no stem intumescence, and the plant was longer. So high blue photon flux by itself, it reduced the intumescence compared to the control. It reduced the leaf abscission compared to the control. It reduced the stem intumescence compared to the control. However, still, you know, the far red is better. And then you have a very, very compact plant with the high blue photon flux. Now, if you combine both, you really reduce the leaf intumescence, no intumescence in any other organ, and you reduce your plant height all the way, you know, close to the control. So to conclude, a small dose of NLF far-red light and combined with blue-rich light quality could be applied to mitigate the problematic intumescence of tomato seedlings. So they were asking, you know, what would you think would be a good a light quality to grow tomatoes indoors? You know, taking in consideration your research and also the research of other scientists. Well, we know now that the compromise on dry mass, it may not be a lot if you go from high red a background to, you know, 50% blue, 50% red. But in addition to that, if you add end of day far red, then you have a comparable dry mass plus no intumescence. So I'm thinking, I'm recommending 50% blue, 50% red with end of day far red as a comfortable light quality to produce tomato transplants, but of course this has to be tested with more cultivars. So thanks to Tomomi, she in the picture, great scientist, and everyone else at the SEAC that helped us with this experiment. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, go ahead. Yeah, I don't know the mechanism, and it's quite unknown. Yes, it's not really know what causes it. We know there are factors that cause it, but we don't really know the physiological or downstream regulators that promote it. So no.
I think, you know, a lot of the cultivars that are sensitive all drive high altitudes, so I don't know if it's related to like a protective mechanism.
Yeah.
That was just going off the number of species.
Yeah. So Bob mentioned that most of the cultivars that I'm sensitive to intumescence are cultivars developed for high altitude. So maybe it's a protection to deal with light quality or irradiance. And yeah, it's new information for me. And yeah, it's worth a look at too.
Now you're testing on rootstocks. After grafting, is there any carryover effects of intumescence?
So yes, we talked to a couple of propagators of grafted plants, and they're actually getting the development of the intumescence or the visual effect of the intumescence at the healing part, on their healing. Now, this is even on the scion part of it, right? And then we were looking at those growing environments and their healing in the greenhouse, right, with a lot of shade. And after we do a scan of the background, there's very little far red and UV, right? So yes, it can happen even after the growing period. Or it can be worsened, especially because of the healing condition, which is high humidity. Any other questions? Are we good, Josh, now?
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you very much.